Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Search Chat, Solo Segment's podcast dedicated to all things search, AI, and content marketing related. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. You can learn more at solosegment.com. In this episode of Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I discuss the dog days of summer and how you can use those to make your business more successful this fall and in 2020. We also talk about speed and how it's important to move your business in the right direction at the right tempo. All that and more on the latest episode of Solo Segment Search Chat, coming at you right about now. Well, hey, Steve, how are you?
I am doing great, and I can actually see you. This is an amazing thing.
I know. This is exciting. We're doing video for the first time ever.
It's crazy. Those content marketing people have been harassing us for so long. We finally decided to do it.
Absolutely. And we will have apparently video up on YouTube for the first time after this. So we'll see how this goes. But we are in an interesting time of year, Steve. It is, we're kind of in the dog days of summer. It's quiet hot. Down, right? Ugh. Hot. I don't know about where. I don't know where you are. I know exactly where you are. You're about 100 miles from here.
Yes, it is absolutely
where we all are. Exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of this wild period where things are slowing down, and it got you and I talking about speed
because things are so slow. So.
Well.
You always think about speed.
And it's funny because there is one article I do want to talk about and I would love to get your take on, but I think it speaks to speed more generally, where Demand Gen did their 2019 B2B buyers survey report.
Right.
And they found that B2B buyers are spending more time researching their purchases. They said 75% of the B2B executives surveyed said they are now using more sources to research and evaluate purchases, and 75% say they're taking more time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that got us thinking about time and speed and what the customer does and things like that. And so, right. I thought we'd have a little chat about speed and business and what this means to you specifically.
I think it's a really interesting topic, especially, so many emails that I send out these days, you get the out of office. So people are off of the, right. Recharging. And, it is interesting that in a kind of an environment where we are all so focused on getting stuff done, it is an awkward time, even though, hey, I took my time off. So it was a wonderful thing. Nobody interrupted me. So I'm not going to begrudge anybody their time off. But, it is an interesting time to kind of sit back and think about how are people buying and how do they think about the buying process? Because some of those out of office emails I get are transactions or deals that we're trying to progress, whether
right,
it's
sure.
The procurement person or the client or whatever. And, that kind of changing face of the B2B buyer is actually something that's kind of top of mind when we think about product as well. Because, I was talking to somebody this morning, digital marketing professional, interesting there. She's in the automotive business, but she was talking a lot about how B2B buyers kind of approach thinking about their needs, things that can solve or help them with that need, and then how do they actually purchase it? Yep. And of course, as a marketer, she reinforced the message that, you always have to be thinking about the salesperson at the end of this, because usually there's not somebody getting dropped in a cart, right?
Right.
It is a salesperson who's kind of taking off the handoff. But, she talked about that even though the process can be and feel slower than for, especially if you come, she came from the, you know, CPG, you know, kind of business.
Oh, stuff. Sure, sure.
That's where, you know,
high volume
cycles, 22 minutes.
Right. You know? Exactly.
So coming from that CPG background.
Months.
Exactly. But coming from that background, she said it was kind of a big shift, but the importance of getting salespeople engaged. But it really was, you know, for her, she had to really reframe how she thought about the process. And, you know, one of the most interesting things she said was, yes, it's a lot slower. There are a lot more touch points, both digitally and offline.
Yep.
A lot more data to chase. But she said something that was really interesting that, you know, in these slower moments, you get a chance to think about was for B2B, marketing is much different because sales is at the center of the hub. Mm-hmm. Or is at the center of the wheel, right? All the spokes kind of lead into sales.
Sure.
Which
sure.
For a marketing person to say that was very interesting because not all the marketers that I talk to say that, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, I'm going to start to chew on over the next couple of weeks and months is really how do we help our customers kind of reframe in that way? Because, you know, we've been talking a lot about as we build product about how do we help marketers drive the things that they value, right? And often, you know, when I ask, I had, I think 100, that was discussion 148 this year, so far this year with digital marketing professionals. And when I ask them what their top measurements are, very few of them say sales.
Right.
Oh, of course, right. Growth is important to us. But when they talk measurements, right, they say, well, marketing qualified leads, the handoff to sales, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of them even impressions and all these top of funnel metrics.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right?
Sure.
So, you know, how do we
engagement.
Help? Oh, yeah, engagement, right.
Right.
Engagement, I don't know. because it generally, you know, what's the problem, you know, the main problem that marketers face, I think, is translating what we do into value, right?
So
for me, you know, kind of this dog days of summer thought is how do I both help our customers think more like this person I talked to this morning, right? Mm-hmm. How do we think more kind of through marketing right into sales and make that connection? And how do we, you know, use our technology to help enable that so that if you're one of these marketers that's in this report that's thinking about accelerating, that would be great, or decelerating, right, the buying process, how do we make sure that we have our eye on the right ball, that we're doing the things to help progress the conversation, whether that's digitally or offline, towards the goal? And the goal is always growth, right?
Yeah. Well, and I do think we do a pretty good job of it a lot of the time, but I think you raise a great point of where can we be doing better along that? You know, our good friend, Mike Moran, our senior strategist, always talks about the fact that, you know, he said, if you look at a lot of companies, when times get tough, you know, the CEO will walk into the head of sales office and say, you know, we need you to cut your budget by 10%. And the head of sales invariably says, well, that's fine, but let me explain to you what's going to happen to the rest of our revenues.
Right.
And the CEO goes, okay, don't do that. Walks down the hall to the head of marketing's office and says, I need you to cut your budget by 20%.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Right?
So it becomes this problem of if you can't connect the dots, if you can't line those up. Where did I see a stat the other day? I will find this and I'll make sure we get this in the show notes. But I saw a stat the other day that the average CMO tenure has now fallen on average.
Really?
To 12 months.
Wow.
You get a year, if you're lucky, to prove your value. Now, I'm sure this must be, you know, one of those, I can't
remember. Most last 2 days, the rest.
A two-tailed distribution, if we're getting fancy with our statistics, right? Where there's a lot of people with a very short tenure and a lot of people with a much longer tenure, but the average is very short. Mm-hmm. I think it is this disconnect probably plays a pretty significant role in making that so.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Well, A, based upon the number of folks whose emails change during the sales process or you know, the faces that are around the table, I absolutely agree with that that statement. I think that we are all, right, speed, you know, kind of back to the speed kind of concept.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody's under a lot of pressure to perform. Especially now, we've got these rumblings of inverted yield curves and recession on the way.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Whatnot. And so, how do you respond to that? And,
by the way, there's a cheery thought if you're listening to this on the beach while you're on vacation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Are you going to have a job when you get back? News at 11. It's one of these things where we're thinking about, okay, well, how do we make sure that if the pie is going to be shrinking, that we're taking the most advantage of it. And so now you're feeling the pressure. And, there's this phrase that a totally non-work related conversation. I had a buddy who was in the Army this morning. And the phrase, slow is smooth, smooth is fast came up. And it's one of these interesting things.
What is this? Yeah.
So this is the whole notion. And, you'll see this, watch your favorite Navy SEAL video or whatnot. And you'll see these guys, people are shooting at them. They're not often running, right? The whole notion is that, when you rush, you make mistakes. And, of course, you don't want to stand in the line of fire for too long. But if you train well and everybody knows how to do their job and you keep your eye on the objective and you keep moving, right, that and you make no mistakes and the bad guys don't get you, so the competition doesn't get you or that other marketing guy who's competing for your job doesn't get you or all those other things, you can achieve your objective a lot faster than if you're running around willy-nilly. And so, But his interesting phrase that kind of comes to me as we're having this conversation is that, that really is the goal, right? How do you continue to progress in an orderly fashion? And while nobody likes to say, hey, I'm doing my job slowly, you certainly want to be one of those people who's doing your job smoothly because you're be able to respond to inputs from the environment. You're not missing things. And I think that's probably, one of the lessons from that phrase is that, smooth is fast. And I think the clients that we work with that are most effective, first of all, are the clients we've been with for a long time. So we've got this kind of tempo with them, but it's very rare that we're rushing with them.
Right. We're moving in a smooth way. I think that's a thing we have always tried to do. But I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. I know you've heard me say this before. We were talking a little bit about this before the show as well. But, I was a music major in my past. And my voice professor always used to say, practice does not make perfect. By the way, I feel like obligated to get into
more. Yeah, you do have the radio voice going, so it's very nice.
But practice does not make perfect.
Sure.
Perfect practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean you get it right every time. I mean, the whole point of practicing is you're making mistakes in a, quote unquote, safe space.
Yeah.
But what it really is it means that you're deliberate in the way that you practice. You practice in a very focused way. Yeah. Just like you're talking about, smooth is, I gotta get this right.
Smooth is fast.
Yeah. It's that idea of you practice in a very deliberate manner so that you're making notes about what went right, what didn't, what went wrong, and how do you improve on those? You're doing things in the same manner again and again.
I
think that's a really interesting, connecting those two things. I don't have a pithy way to do it right now, but that's an interesting, perfect practice means smooth, really.
It is interesting. This conversation, the same woman I had a conversation with this morning, she works again in the automotive industry. And we were talking about visitor journeys and some of the models that they had built over time. And basically what they were doing was creating funnels because they had done some data analysis that said, well, if you do this thing, we're going to score your interaction in this way. And therefore, once you score this thing, this next step can happen or you're ready for this, whatever. And ultimately, you're scored enough so that you can get handed off to sales.
Yep.
And, it was interesting when, I kind of poked at that. It was, we had a conversation around, well, how those models built and whatnot.
Yeah.
And one of the things she talked about is, it was basically a consulting engagement. We hired this data analytics firm. They did all this analysis of the data over a 3-year period, really got into it. And I said, well, how do you update those models? She goes, oh, we don't update the models.
Right.
because it's too hard.
Right.
And, you know, again, getting the speed, you know, what's really interesting is that kind of analysis is very powerful, because if you know those kind of moments in time that are most related to conversion, mm-hmm. that's awesome. Because every time you see one of those, there's a conversion that you can pass the sales or you can take advantage of to progress the journey. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting was, of course, I said, well, back to our topic of speed again, I said, but doesn't like machine learning give you then the opportunity to go much faster there? So now right. I've just thrown my smooth as fast or slow as smooth as fast thing out the window. But it is interesting that there are places where we can go much faster these days. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think about, again, some of the analysis that Stefan's working on for us, who does some data science work for us. You know, he's looking at these patterns. And of course, by patterns, I mean vector analysis of documents. But we're looking for these patterns.
What else could you mean, Steve?
Right, right. You know, that's what we, as people speak about patterns, they're always thinking about vector analysis. But, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, as we look for these patterns, it's almost very similar to that thing that we used to do. Oh, we'll do it biannually, right? And now it like immediately. Right. So, you know, it's interesting that there are, you know, in these dog days, there are some opportunities to sit back and reflect on what we can do better because we have moments to think about them. But it's also interesting that technology has made things that used to be kind of written in stone, we can write them in Jello, and that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing because right. we can iterate on that as new data comes in because the technology platform's there. So
yeah,
I'm not exactly sure how that's relevant to this discussion, but it just kind of struck me as we were.
Well, I like it because it speaks to this idea. So I'm gonna bring in two very different things that I'm going to try to tie them together and then hand it off to you to, you know, run with
excellent.
For a second. Looking forward. By the way, I've just mixed a couple metaphors right there. But nonetheless, one is Marc Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce.com, mm-hmm. has said speed is the new currency of business. Mm-hmm. And it absolutely speaks to the fact of everybody's connected. Everybody's carrying carrying a phone in their pocket. I like to say they're carrying the internet in their pocket, right? Everywhere sure. that they go, people sure. can access the data they want. This is all stuff people have heard, right? But people can access the data they want wherever they want, whenever they want, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly one thing. But the other thing, to go back to my musician thing for just a second, is you don't expect, you know, the tubas to do the same thing that the fiddles are doing, right? That the violins are doing. You give the right jobs to the right part of the you know, the orchestra or the right part of the band or things like that, you know? And you think about a great band these days plays to a click. And what I mean by plays to a click is the click makes sure that they stay more or less on tempo, except what most people don't realize is the entire band is not listening to the click. The drummer is. And everybody else is listening to the drummer who sets the tempo. By the way, see the speed thing here, right?
All right, look at that.
They're letting the machine do what the machine does well, which is kind of keep everything in sync so that if they need a computer to do something over here or they need to trigger a sample or they need to do whatever, things line up correctly.
Right.
But also they let the people do the part that the people do well of bring artistic flair to it or things like that. It's not everybody's playing rigidly like a machine. It's that they're playing in time with this thing that the drummer's listening to.
I was wondering how you're going to bring this home, and this is just amazing.
I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, right? Well, you know, it is amazing because, you know, and this has been many conversations. Again, it kind of was a theme that repeated itself this morning, but it was this notion exactly that of, you know, what are the people good at and what are the machines good at?
Yeah.
And, you know, the great bane of visitor journeys, personas, journey mapping has been the creation of content.
Right.
And it's not that people aren't good about it. It's that there's a finite amount of time in the day and you can't
everything. Scale it necessarily.
Right, exactly. And you know, what's interesting is that, you know, the machine helps there because
right.
you have a lot more content than you think you have that's relevant to certain points of the journey.
Yep.
What you have to do is make sure that content's discoverable. And, you know, the real challenge is, you know, if a human doesn't map it, then navigation's got to take over and somebody's got to be able to find it. And we all know that navigation's a pain in the butt. And then if that doesn't work, you know, your search has got to work. And we all know that generally that doesn't work. So how do you then hand off that problem to the machine?
I mean,
the shameless plug moment is, you know, we've got some of that in Guidebox, which helps, you know, kind of connect some of those dots, but not always, right? There's kind of an evolving technology there that's going to make that content more findable and make it, you know, easier to bring to the front at the right moment. But, you know, that really is, I guess, a way of framing this as, you know, we all kind of take a pause, things slow down and think about, you know, what's next for our tech marketing teams, what's next for tech, and how do we implement those is, you know, where does the right technology help you and where do you need to kind of apply people? And, you know, we've talked a lot about efficiency and effectiveness and MarTech and what technology helps you with one and or the other and help you with both. And, you know, it that is, I guess, a moment when we have to think about, you know, what is technology really doing for us? And what are the most pressing problems that we challenge that we have? And then how do we apply, you know, technology to those moments so that we can be more ultimately effective as marketers? And I think it's some of the efficiency play helps there, but you know, also need some of the effectiveness. You need effectiveness help. You need to be able to scale the effectiveness side of the equation as well.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to a line I say all the time that AI won't steal your job, but smart people who use AI will, right? You know, it's that same idea of letting each piece kind of work at where it's strongest. I guess the question I would have for you is, you know, okay, now that people have a little time for the next couple of weeks. See what I did there? You know, how should they be prepping? Because, I mean, clearly folks are going to come back after the holiday weekend and things like that in a couple of weeks' time, and people are going to start running like hell again. And is that the right approach? Or what should they be doing now? What should they be doing then? What should they be doing different to put themselves in a better position to make sure that, you know, folks armed with AI don't take their job?
Well, they should definitely be running like hell on budget because the budgetary knife fight season starts too. But so you definitely don't want to take your eye off the ball there. You know, I think that where there is opportunity, and again, if you're going into your planning process this time of year, you probably have a fairly good idea of where you want to be. You know, in 2020, because that's really what we're thinking about these days is where do you want to be in 2020? And, you know, I think that, and this was something that Scott Brinker had in a recent, one of his recent blog posts on martech.com was, you know, you want to start thinking about what can you do today to start experimenting? Because I think, you know, kind of back to this slow is smooth is fast. You know, I think there is an opportunity for pilots, proof of concepts, call them what you want, but there is an opportunity for some of that. Boy, we got lots of stuff in this today. You know, this like, you know, start small, you know, go fast, right? You know, but this whole notion of, you know, are there things that you can be doing small in the coming months? Because a lot of vendors are going to, you know, they want your money come 2020. So they're going to be offering you opportunities to kick the tires on tech. And so I think coming out of it, it's, you know, if I have priorities for 2020, I certainly want to not take my eye off the ball on 2019 execution. But, you know, if there are things that I want to be doing in 2020 and I want to win that knife fight on budget, you know, can I be doing some small incremental things now that that will allow me to prove that there's value in the things that I'm putting forward? Because it doesn't matter how many case studies, how many white papers you can present to your boss about the importance of the things that you're doing.
Right.
You had actual results. Hey, this is our business. And yeah, it was a small piece of the business and a limited thing. And it was an AB that didn't have a lot of data, but it's something. I think those things win. And so as I come out of this, you know, in over the next two weeks, I'd be thinking about A, make sure I execute in 2019. B, make sure I have the right priorities framed out for 2020 and how am I going to win in the battle for budget? Because I'm just, you know, I know how that works in large enterprise. But the other thing I'd be thinking about is if I'm going to win, how do I make sure I'm able to demonstrate the value that I'm proposing? And that is an opportunity. Carve out of some of your people or some of your resource to try to make those proof points. And, you know, we're doing this with two clients right now. You know, they've got Guidebox. They're doing these kind of quick and dirty, let's just put it up, and, you know, relatively inexpensive. And they get a proof point on personalization, on behavior-based personalization. So can you replicate that? And we do pilots all the time on Searchbox. You know, people
are like,
is this data right? And so we're not the only vendor who does this. I mean, if you want to do this with us, feel free to call me. But you know, there are plenty of vendors who do this sort of thing. And so how can you do this fall? And everybody's, oh, it's distracting. No, it's not distracting. It's part of your opportunity.
Right.
Or that you are ready for execution in the future.
So, right. And that sets you up better for perfect practice, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you bet. That's a great point.
Fantastic. Well, Steve, I think we've done it. I think we've filled all our time, right? This is you know how this show works. It's not all the news that's fit to print. It's just all the news that fits.
Indeed. Well, thanks again, Tim, for a great time.
Fantastic, Steve. Talk to you soon. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks very much. Take care. Right,
bye now.
Search Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment is a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter, and learn more at solosegment.com. If you like what you've heard today, click on the subscribe links you can find at solosegment.com/podcast, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. You can also find us on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/company/solosegment, on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. For Search Chat, I'm Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next time here on Search Chat. Until then, take care, everybody.